Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome to Brett and Cliff's Flea Circus. My name is Cliff.
Hello, and I'm Wally Funk, fake astronaut.
Okay, that's nice to meet you, Wally.
Thanks very much. Just back from my space journey.
Right.
Nice even one. Though I didn't go to space, did I?
Did you have a cowboy hat on? Because obviously if you didn't have a cowboy hat on, well, obviously you're never going to get a space because we all know that's the correct attire for space travel. Can I just say now, I'm outside, it's really hot. I'm going to be absolutely sweating by the end of this. So you can watch us deteriorate, like not just in a drunken way like usually.
Like the fly.
But yeah, like the fly.
Look at the size of that can.
Oh, that's very tall.
This, isn't it?
Is it a pint can?
It's a pint can. No, it's a pint can. But they're massive, aren't they?
They are,
by surprise.
I've got, I poured mine into a glass and it's very flat.
Mm-hmm. Are you still putting ice in things? You shouldn't. Who cares?
What you been doing this week?
I went to coughing. You're coughing a little bit, aren't you? The deterioration is a little bit quicker than I thought. Yeah. I can't wait for the bit where you put your knob in a fridge.
Attached or detached?
Detached.
Okay.
There's a bit in the fly where he opens the fridge, I think, and our cupboard and his body parts are in there, and his knob's there as well.
Goldblum
so
again.
That's what I said. Yeah.
Not to be trusted.
Yeah, I went to Durham, and yes, that was good. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this craze has hit the mean streets of Dubai, but in various burger places or pubs, you could get a burger with crisps on the top.
Yeah, we have that here.
What's that?
We have it with Cheetos, because Flamin' Hot Cheetos often make an appearance. And there's some chips here. Chips, they're called Oman chips. These crisps are local, like a local delicacy. Not the right word, but a local favorite. And they're like spicy crisps. There's always them and Flamin' Hot Cheetos.
Why though?
You know what? I've never ordered one with them on.
I wouldn't. One had Monster Munch on.
Beefy flavor.
I didn't go for us to check. I was hoping they were pickled onion.
Could but be there a you beefy, go. Beefy Monster Munch and a tasteless burger.
Hey, I saw Aidan McGeady in Durham.
Yeah, what was he doing? Hair transplant shopping?
Sitting in his car, sitting in his massive car. That's all he
did.
Did
he have a pipe coming into the window?
After he signed his new contract, he did, eh? Unfortunately, he was taking his kids with him, if that was the case.
Oh, well, sorry, Chris Benoit style.
So let's hope not.
Okay, what else? Were you there for a day on the drink, or what were you there for?
Just a day trip. The wife drove down, so she couldn't drink or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it was just a walk, you know, walk down
just
the
two
river. No, with Jack and my mother-in-law as well.
Okay,
it was
Noel
very,
Lennon?
Very nice. Yeah, Noel Lennon was at school, so yeah, it was disappointing for him. But yeah, nice apart from, you know, that thing with the burgers, which upset us.
Brett.
Yes.
You order your shopping online, right? Wally, sorry. You order your shopping online or the missus does?
Yes, we've done it from time to time. Yes,
it, yeah. Well. Has anybody ever stolen it?
Stolen it? Uh-huh. What? How could they steal it?
Let's say the guy knocks on the door and he's made a mistake and he's sort of gone to the wrong door, and they go, just we'll have it then.
No, but okay. I assume that this has happened to you, was it?
It happened to me on Friday night.
That's shocking. So he delivered it to somebody else's house and that accepted it willfully.
Yeah, and obviously, and it was the people who live across the corridor from us.
I bet that was an awkward conversation when he knocked on the door.
Well, it's just weird. So we come in. I think I've gone out for the afternoon. I have a few beers with the lads. And I've ordered a delivery to come while I'm away. And Jane's dropping us off. I said, right, when you get back, the shopman's probably going to come, like, right when you get back. So keep an ear out for it. I get a message to say delivered. The payment's been taken off my card or whatever. So I come home. And I don't think much of it. Obviously, I've had a few beers while I'm out, putting the baby in the bath and all of that kind of stuff when I get back. And then Jane goes, oh, by, about an hour later, by the way, the shopper never came. I was like, oh, I mean, it did because I got the notification to say that it came. She was like, no, honestly, like, there's no shopper here. I was like, right. And this was a big shop, right? Which is why I've ordered it, because I can't be
a Friday big shop.
Carry all of those bags, right? So there's a number for the fella who's dropped it. He's dropped it off. So ring him and he's like, yeah, I brought it. I was like, well, you haven't because it's not in my house. He's like, yeah, I knocked on the door and somebody answered it and took the shopping in. I was like, right, okay. Which number? 506. Okay. This tower? Yeah, this tower. I was like, well, you haven't because that's where I live and the shopman's not here. He's like, I did it. So anyway, at this point, Jane takes the phone off us. She says, you didn't deliver it and I'm going to ring the police because you've stolen my shopman.
Right.
The guy's like, no, don't do that. I don't do it. I did it. I'm coming back. So anyway, this went back and forwards. He says he's delivering it. Somebody opened the door, took the bags inside. Jane said, well, who was it? Because there's only me here. He was like, an Indian man. She said, right, well, I'm not an Indian man. I'm a white British lady. So that's not my house. So we were saying, look, like, you've obviously, I'm not saying you haven't delivered it somewhere, but what I'm saying is it's not the right place. So what the fuck do we do at this point? Or the guy comes out, because I think Jane's in the corridor at this point, like shouting at the guy on the phone. The guy comes out, he's like, are you talking about shopping? She's like, yeah. And he went, okay, we've got it.
It's in the fridge.
Yeah, it was in the fucking fridge.
By the way, you know them Speedos you ordered? Them flesh-coloured Speedos. I'm sorry, I couldn't resist.
I mean, how weird is that? Like, okay, the fella got the wrong door, so that's annoying. But
yeah,
he's knocked on across the road who haven't ordered a massive thing of shopping from these people. And, you know, it has the number on for where it's been delivered.
I mean,
no point of the said that's not our shopping.
Well, like takeaways and stuff. Yeah, I mean, you must have had it where it's somebody, a takeaway delivery driver knocks on the door with a curry and you haven't ordered a curry or whatever. You don't go, thanks very much. Do you?
He's gone, no,
you
I
say, no, I haven't ordered it.
Yeah, you say, I haven't ordered that. It happened. So, right. So it gets weirder.
Oh, no.
So this family, really weird. Like, really, really weird. We've got six flats on our floor. And then there's this one across the way, who again are a family. First time we saw them, we'd not been in long. We were in the lift and Jane was like, oh, hi, we're your new neighbours. My name's Jane and this is Paul, my husband, and this is our little girl, Pearl. And what do you think the woman said to that? What do you think she said?
Why, what a lovely family you have.
No, she said, hello, I'm a doctor.
Is that just in case you needed anything medical?
She'll never said her name. Just hello, I'm a doctor. And she was like a herbal remedies doctor, not a proper one. Well, I can't remember the name.
Oh, one of them.
Ayurvedic.
A quack.
I'm an Ayurvedic doctor. We were like, okay, nice. Fucking weirdo. But Monday night, Jane's just broken her foot. I had the diagnosis that she's got a broken foot, and I'm going to pick her up and take her to the hospital because she's at the doctor's. And I've got to get the baby out. I'm trying to fill some water up for her to take a bottle of water. The baby's ready for bed. And it's a bit stressful because she's broken her foot and she's, you know, didn't expect that. And it's bedtime and all that kind of shit. So anyway, there's a knock on the door and there's a guy. Hi, delivery for apartment 506. I was like, nope, not for me. We haven't ordered anything. He's like, no, it's Tower K506. I was like, no, we haven't ordered anything. He was like, no, somebody's ordered it to this address. I was like, what is it? And he was like, it's groceries. I was like, I know it's groceries, but what is it? And it was a single tub of ghee.
Was this in recompense for stealing your massive shop?
Well, so I was like, no, we haven't ordered that. I don't know who's ordered it. But I was like trying to get out. I was like, I don't know who's ordered it. I can see it says Tower K506 on there. I know that you do it. You're doing that bit right. But nobody in this house has ordered this unless somehow, for some reason, while Jane's been in the doctor's getting her foot x-rayed, she thought
she's ordered ghee. I need to thicken me foot in ghee. That's what I need to do. The only remedy.
I went and got it. But I think, I genuinely think those neighbours ordered something and come to our house to see whether I would take it in or not.
Maybe.
You think I'm so being
there's two ways you can it? No, there's two ways you can look at it. One, they've ordered it in way of an apology, right?
Yeah.
The key is some kind of apology, which could happen. Or, yes, they have ordered that measly ghee just to see if you'd take it, and then they'll knock on the door and go, where's me ghee?
Yeah,
have you accepted me ghee?
Have you taken it? And obviously the difference being it was rightly delivered to my address as per the address.
Yeah, but they're trying to trick you.
Do you think I'm mad for thinking that? Because I genuinely think that they have done it to go, see, easy mistake they're making it.
Right, exactly, yeah. I think it's one of the two, isn't it? It's either the ghee apology.
It's not an apology.
If it is the apology, have they mentioned it?
Well, no. Obviously not. No, they haven't mentioned it. And or, if it was an apology, I dealt with it in the way I would have dealt with it and turned it away.
But they might have be thinking, I've ordered that air ghee and he's just flatly turned it down.
Correct.
It's by way of an apology. Yeah. So you might have upset them by not accepting the ghee.
If they say that to us, I'll say, yeah, too right, I did. Because it's not an acceptable apology. Just apologise. And two, I don't want your fucking apology by way of ghee or any other facts.
Oh, I don't want ghee. I'm not cooking out.
Actually, I would have the ghee.
You wouldn't stick to the story, man. You don't want the ghee?
I would have the ghee, to be honest, but, you know.
You wouldn't want.
Not in them circumstances, that's all I'm saying. Stolen shopping.
Yes.
Broken foot for the wife.
Yes.
In a week's holiday where we're meant to be doing stuff. But that didn't matter anyway, because I've been told to isolate through work. So.
Have you?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, everyone's getting told to isolate anyway, aren't they? So it's the way of it. But you've had what we call a Clifford this week.
This week is a proper Clifford.
We're laughing, but we do actually say that.
So I had a proper Clifford week.
You're a chaotic man, aren't you?
Who knows what might happen now in the confines of our apartment.
Don't even want to think about it. Anything could happen. Hey, Cliff, would you like to cast your mind back to your school days?
I'll do that right now.
Go on, cast your mind back.
Yeah.
Can you remember singing various songs, right, for singing lessons?
Yes.
Yeah.
If you want to be more specific.
Did you sing any sea shanties at school?
I don't know.
I remember singing sea shanties.
I went to sea to see what he
could. No, what about? Ayo, up she rises. Ayo, up she rises. Why did they make me sing that at school? Isn't that mad?
Yeah. Early in the morning.
Early in the morning. Just if that that flashed into my head this week.
There's loads of songs. That school. What we had all the songs.
Well, we used to sing Yellow Submarine and stuff. That was cool.
I was singing Nowhere Man in comprehensive school. That's fucking solid. Why would you get anybody to sing that?
What in the rave songs you would sing at school?
What about
sea shanties?
Junior school ones. That's where you sang the sea shanty, isn't it? Junior school.
Yeah.
It was, we both went to what I think are called Protestant junior schools. Is that what they're called?
Church of England, maybe.
Okay. So yeah, you had to sing all weird, like, not hymns as such. And then, did you ever sing The Source? Hold high the source, the power we endorse. Do you sing that?
No, I haven't. I've never sang that, but I think it sounds great. Hold high the source, the power we endorse. Yeah. So that sounds awesome. I love that. No, we just sang Henry VIII. I am.
Never did that.
Didn't do that one.
Yeah, I'm aware of it. Well, but...
Any old iron?
No, what the fuck did you go to school in Lambeth?
Well, that's what we used to sing. We didn't sing Donald Where's Your Trousers. That was the next thing in my mind. But we didn't sing that. At least I don't think we did. But and then it was onto the sea shanties and then you were done. I mean, what a fantastic afternoon. And I was in charge of the projector. So
okay, well,
there
that's
you
good,
go.
Isn't it?
That's it's cool. Class.
So
if anybody else has sung anything we had at school, let we know.
Yeah, and if anybody remembers the Source song, then tell us I'm not alone.
Yeah.
Well, let's draw you back in with chat of the 1982 to 1992 BBC sitcom Hello, Hello.
Hello, Hello. Yes, why did we pick this again?
It still gets shown on TV now, but how? So I wanted to watch it again and find out.
To see how.
Just how it's aged.
Yes. And how would you say, Cliff, that it has aged, having watched this? What did you watch just one episode?
Yeah,
Cliff,
I just
or did
watched
you delve
the first,
into more?
I watched the first one.
Right.
To be honest, that was enough for me. I was.
Was it?
Yeah. I can't say I enjoyed it. Oh, uh-huh. I did enjoy it, like, to a point. But,
yes.
But yeah, it's a bit one-dimensional, I would say. Mm-hmm.
It grows, I think, for various reasons, because we're talking about, like, the first episode. There's an episode before this, which is the pilot one, mm-hmm. which was done in 1982.
Yeah, I wanted
and
to watch
for some this. Reason, for some reason, 2 years had passed before they actually said, oh, well, might as well do
yeah,
this.
<I know.
laughs> Like 1984, they started doing it again. What's that like? That's a bit weird.
Just pondering for 2 years.
Shall we do it? Who knows? But my great disappointment was that Officer Crabtree wasn't in this episode because he, as a kid, I would just wait for him to come on because he was just wonderful.
He only came in the second series, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
I guess we'll talk about it a bit more as we go through it. But yeah, so Hello, Hello, to set the scene for anybody who doesn't know, was set in 1940, a town in France under Nazi occupation, ripe for comedy, of course, such a setting. So it's this French market town. It's basically centered on a cafe run by a guy called René. René is hiding a painting that the corrupt Nazi officer who's kind of stationed in the town has stolen. Mm-hmm. He's hiding that for him. He's also hiding two British airmen who are continuously trying to get back to England. So,
a la duty free.
So, So, what we're finding out here is he's got fingers in all sorts of pies, including the waitresses that work for him as well.
He has wonderfully.
So, they're the three kind of main bits of the story, would you say?
They're the three main plot points, aren't they, that continue all the way through, I think. Mm. Trying to get the airman back is definitely one. The fallen Madonna with the big boobies, the painting.
Why would that be the name of it? Like was boobies in circulation in 1940s France?
So that's one. And what was the other one you said?
That he's shagging.
Oh, the shagging.
Everyone shagging.
Are we still the best men? Yeah. But in the episode that we watched, because he's obviously shagging the waitresses behind his wife's back. Edith is his wife.
And he's shagging the waitresses behind each other's back as well.
Yes, but in this episode, he reveals to one of the waitresses that he's doing that. So that they must have changed that from one episode to another to make it even more chaotic.
Yeah,
that's the thing about it, isn't it? It's complete chaos, isn't it?
Yes.
It's just a farce.
It is a farce. And, you know, it's written and produced by David Croft and Jeremy Lloyd, to absolute royalty of British sitcoms. Also did Dad's Army, like, is the big one.
Heidi High.
Much in common with this, I think. Dad's Army, Heidi High, Are You Being Served as well.
Yep. Ain't Half Hot Mom.
Yeah. Like, so there's definitely a thread of the kind of comedy.
The thing that is about it is everybody's ridiculous, aren't they?
Yes.
There's no nationality that they're picking on or anything like that. Everybody is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And the other clever thing about it is the only people that you can really understand are the French people. They're speaking in English, but in a French accent.
Yeah.
And then when the sort of airmen come on, they speak in a very posh accent or whatever. And if people are communicating with them, they speak in a very posh accent as well.
Yeah.
And that's the good thing about when Officer Crabtree came in, because I never realised this up until now, is that he's actually English. I never knew that he was English.
Well, the character.
I've only just realized. Yeah, the character's English.
Yeah.
And he's trying to speak French and he can't speak French. Yeah. And he's making all these mistakes and stuff like that. So, I mean, it's complete chaos. It is funny in parts. There's funny bits. It's like a carry-on film.
It is that kind of humor and also the kind of the inappropriate things that you would find in a carry-on film now or here as well. There's a joke about, like, being gassed about 4 minutes into it, which is a bit like
a little bit, but most of it's like innuendo, isn't it? There's a lot of innuendo.
I mean, it's mostly stuff. Innuendo.
What
we should say about René, who's running the cafe with these glamorous waitresses, is he's not the only people shagging them, because what wasn't obvious to me as a child was it's also a brothel for the for the Nazi soldiers to have sex and pay for the services of the waitresses that work for
them. I know that is true. Something that I never sort of realized before either, because there's a part where they take two German officers upstairs or whatever to steal their clothes, isn't there?
Obviously
they're all complicit in it. I mean, not to get too down on it, but after the war ended, those poor ladies would have had their head shaved and been dragged through the streets, because that's what happened. But there you go. I didn't get that bit. I mean, the thing that I loved about it as a kid was it was silly fun, and it had a lot of lingerie. For a 7 or 8 year old kid, right? This was like, how is this how is this on?
Would you say this was your first like sexual awakening?
Maybe it might have been.
Probably was for me. Like, I think this was the first time I watched or saw something.
Yeah,
woman
saucy.
Like,
I mean, it's saucy. That's the word, isn't it?
It's saucy. It's camp, saucy, seaside, good fun.
It is. It's like a kiss me quick hat. That's what it's like. It's like them cardboards, them postcards from Blackpool. That's what it's like, isn't it? It's like very British humour and stuff. Mm. Poking fun at something that isn't funny. You know, the whole situation
and that's
terrible.
That's good. You know what I mean? Like that. I quite like that they've done that, but you wonder now, like, why? I mean, it's a very, very serious subject. And also, in France, it's a very sore subject that it was under Nazi occupation. And, you know, there's the stereotypes and stuff like that rule around that. It's a very sore subject.
Proud nation, the French, I mean,
and this is
revolution,
like
revolution and everything.
British guys taking the piss out of like
yeah.
them rolling over for the for the Nazis.
But they're fighting back, aren't they? Because it's the resistance. So
yeah.
there's that aspect of it. And there's also the aspect of everybody's ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, the person who probably is the least ridiculous is René himself, isn't it? René Artois.
Yeah, the names are fantastic. Somebody's is Yvette. So Michelle, what was she called? Michelle something, who plays Yvette. She was like the one who was everybody the pin-up.
Vicky Michelle plays Yvette, and she's Yvette Carte Blanche, which is wonderful. Another one who came in later, because there was another barmaid, wasn't there? But she left after a couple of seasons. But that, remember Sue Hodge, the little lady who came
Mimi,
in?
I remember Mimi.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Mimi LeBonc.
Because obviously the thing about Mimi was she wasn't really attractive, so that was
there was someone there for me there with her as a kid. Well, I'm not going to deny it.
So Yvette was like Vicky Michelle was like the pin-up, right? And she made a career out of appearing on things and being like the saucy into older age.
Can you blame anybody for it?
No, absolutely not.
I mean, she's a stunner, aren't you?
To be honest, Maria's criminally overlooked.
She is criminally overlooked. She definitely is. She's got a timid little face, hasn't she? Can I say that? Well, I have.
You've said it.
I've gone and said it, haven't I? I've gone and said it. Look, none of this is our fault. We were subjected to this. Seven, even younger than that, at a very early age.
I mean, and also, it made us fancy a Nazi.
Yes, I know. Well, there is one thing. Nazis are despicable people. There's no doubt, right? But they're also very sexy.
Very well-dressed. All those Hugo Boss outfits that they wear.
Of course it is, yeah. I mean, yeah, she was great, wasn't she? She was absolutely... Kim Hartman, who played Helga, who is also Christopher Nolan's auntie.
Oh, really?
Did you know that?
Okay, I did not know that.
She's in Dunkirk.
Who's your favourite character in it, do you think?
Well, it's got to be Crabtree. I know he wasn't in the episode that we watched, but as a kid, I would watch it and I would enjoy it. But then when he came on, I just pissed myself laughing, mainly because he probably said the word pissing a lot.
All the time,
I was pissing by, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He was swearing, which wasn't allowed, definitely not allowed in my house and not in yours.
Yeah, yeah.
But he was saying it, but it wasn't a swear word because he was using it in a different way. So it was a clever use of language. Do you know what I mean? It was a different accent, obviously, but he was trying to say passing, but he was saying pissing. So it somehow got out the way of the censors and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. He just fucking cracked us up. Who was your favourite?
He's not in it enough in this episode, but Lieutenant Gruber is my favorite.
Guy Sinner, obviously being a Nazi and stuff like that, he is gay and he's blatantly gay. Do you know what I mean? That kind of behavior was outlawed, wasn't it, by the Nazis? Mm-hmm. I mean, it was funny that he was in there and stuff. I like that guy. I think he's good.
I think it's great. Yeah, I think he's great. Yeah. Like he's a likable Nazi in it.
He is. Although he's the only one with any real sense out of the Nazis, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
Because the rest are kind of they're in on it, like they're in on sort of René getting the English aim and out
and
stuff like that.
Yeah, they don't want to do anything about it.
Yeah, because he's looking after the painting for them, so he's got something over there. Yeah. Ultimately, they're just all scared of the Gestapo, aren't they? Mm-hmm. They're all scared of Herr Flick. That's what they're scared of.
Yeah.
And he's wonderful, Herr Flick. He's just class. I mean, they must have got his look from Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah.
That guy, his face melts or whatever.
Yeah.
Must be him, definitely.
So did you enjoy it then, watching it again?
Do you know what? I really did. I really did enjoy it. I watched the pilot. I watched this one. And I watched... there was like a best bit or whatever on YouTube and things. And I watched them. And there was bits that made us laugh. So
yeah, it's still bits of this that made us laugh, for sure. There's no way it would get made now with this.
The weird thing is about it, I think, is just the fact that we were subjected to it because it was on the television and it was blatantly a bit like the Carry On stuff that were watched it, and Benny Hill and things like
Benny
that.
Hill.
It was blatantly saucy, blatantly sexualized stuff going on that we were, it was quite acceptable for us to watch as 4 year olds and onwards or whatever. And it obviously had an effect on us because we still remember it now. And when we said, oh, should we watch Allo Allo? Of course, we both wanted to watch it again. Why wouldn't we? But it's of its time. That's, you know, undeniable. Mm-hmm. They certainly, like you said, they certainly wouldn't make it now. But I watched it as a four-year-old, and I've gone back to it now, you know, 40. And did I like it? Yes. Rene or Gordon Kaye, I think he's quite a fantastic actor. I mean, like, he holds everything together,
doesn't he? Yeah, he does. Like, it is. Everything's like, all this chaos that's going on around him.
I think it was 1990 or something like that. There was like a store and Gordon Kaye got hurt. Like a bit of wood came through his car, whatever, and sort of hit him in the head.
Yeah.
And it was, I remember it being all on the news and stuff like that.
Absolutely huge.
I was devastated.
Yeah, I think everybody was. It was like national shock, wasn't it? That
had a dent in his head, but I just remember being so gutted when I saw that on the news when I was a kid, because it was one of them programs that you just loved. Right, Viva la France is the quiz this week.
Okay.
We have decided, and it's my quiz, so people might be able to get the answers right back at home and that. Right. Who was the first player to score a hat-trick in the Premier League?
I'm going to be optimistic and hope it's Eric Cantona.
It is Eric Cantona. Well done. Scored a hat-trick against Spurs. What do the French say to their kids who throw a tantrum, Cliff? Because the French have a beautiful command of language, don't they?
Yes, they do, yeah.
They do indeed. I'm afraid that that's wrong. What they do say is, go ahead and cry. You'll piss less. What is a common phrase meaning I'm cold in France?
My nipples are going to cut your skin.
I'm peeling my own bell end. Why do people think the French language is beautiful and sexy and stuff like that? And that they're really saying this shit to each other? What does the French phrase, you're a fly sodomizer, mean? You're nitpicking. It's as simple as that.
Okay.
It's as simple as that. In medieval French cuisine, multiple courses would be prepared in a style called service en confusion. But what does that mean?
Is it like the modern style of service where they just like bring it out whenever they fucking feel like it?
I suppose, yes, it is. It just means all at once. Vive la France!
Vive la France! Right.
We'll have music, don't we?
We have got music, and it's very good. He's a guy from Philadelphia. And this song is called Stardust 2, and it's very good. I like it very much.
We'll hope you enjoy it, first of all.
Yes.
Well, also, number one. Number two, we'll also hope you join us next week when Dominic Cummins is going to join us, and he picks his favourite film, True Lies.
Let's bring back some goodness into the world with the song Stardust 2 by Akoda. Bye.
Yes. Bye. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.